Commence primary ignition.
I'm just not the hero type, clearly.
What a piece of junk.
Enterprise, this is the captain.
I got a bad feeling about this.
It's all part of the plan.
Engage.
Welcome back to Podcast 2-for-1. I'm your host, Donovan Thompson, with my co-host,
Daniel Wingfield.
And we are back again today to talk episodes 3 and 4 of Hawkeye, Disney Plus's show of the Purple Archer. I don't really know what his actual moniker is. It ain't the Emerald Archer, that's Green Arrow, but he's an archer and he has purple, so we'll say that.
The hawk with a good eye.
There you go.
Yeah, eye hawk. I think that's what they say. Eye hawk, yes.
That's what they say. Yes. And if you didn't know, we are brought to you by Kapow Comics, located at 4047 East Hill Avenue in Sherwood, Arkansas. There they have comic books, collectibles, graphic novels, and of course, special guest appearances throughout the year.
Kapow.
Kapow. And if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button, that notification bell. That way you're up to date on all future episodes of Podcast 2-for-1. Of course, check us out at youtube.com/2for1studios, the best place to consume the content. Give us a like, a subscribe, leave a comment in the comment section below about the episode we're talking about, and we'll be sure to get back to you. Or we won't. We'll see what happens. I don't know. Sometimes I like, oh, one skipped through the cracks here and not to respond kind of late, but it happens. We're busy men.
We are. Sometimes.
Daniel?
Yeah.
I know we talked a few weeks ago, and we were talking about Hawkeye episodes 1 and 2, and even though I still enjoy it for what it is, you know, I definitely felt there's some issues happening with it, and I really felt that you didn't really enjoy the first two episodes. But
you probably felt that way because I said I didn't enjoy them. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I picked up on it anyway.
And it's subtlety.
Yeah, but I really feel like we may have hit a turning point in the show in terms of quality and maybe expectation and also just entertainment in general. Real quick, I really like these last two episodes, episode 3 and 4, especially episode 3, because we had some great action sequences, some great character moments. And I love 4 just because I like how he kind of brought it down. There's debate on whether the pacing works overall, but I still really enjoyed it. And I liked where it left us off at, specifically where it's leading us to these last two episodes. So before we get into it all, how do you feel about it now after 2 more deep?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely took a turn for me as well. I think, you know, like you said, I think the execution got a lot tighter on these last two episodes. Like it just felt like not only did we get good action scenes, you know, I'm thinking specifically of that one in episode 3 with the long tracking shot in the truck and the camera kind of taking circles, that were just good action, but they also felt like they were worthy homages of some of the tones that it feels like, you know, the show is trying to pay tribute to. You know, I definitely felt some like Home Alone 2, you know, obviously 2 because it's New York, but Home Alone-esque kind of slapstick action. And the humor just even between Kate and Barton, for me, or Clint, whatever, it worked a lot better to me. In fact, it felt less improv. It felt like the humor was more scripted. And it just executed better. They landed, the bits of humor landed better for me. And even 4, you know, it was a bit slower and a bit more character heavy in terms of just kind of exploring what these, you know, what our characters are going through. But I thought for the most part it worked as well. And I'm super in, you know, for these last few episodes, especially, you know, there's been some rumblings that the episode that debuts tomorrow, today's Tuesday, will have some interesting reveals or something or another. You know, there's just been some at least somewhat credible rumblings. So, I think the show found its footing. I think it took 2 episodes to find its footing, which is unfortunate, but I'm glad it found it. And let's go. What's next? I'm ready for it.
One thing I think that this is one of those situations where it may have been best for Disney Plus, or at least in their favor, to release all 6 episodes at once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of having that weekly format, which I do love, like I do prefer the weekly format now, just for the fact that it keeps the water cooler talk going and the fun of it all.
Yeah.
But I think if you get to watch those episodes back to back to back, you know, you could probably binge those first three relatively easy, and then you would have felt much better about it than watching those first two, which they gave us back to back actually, and then, you know, had another week to wait, sort of thing.
For sure. I'm assuming that there will be like whatever the reveal is, and even especially episode 6, which comes out, you know, well after, or at least a week after Spider-Man. I'm hoping actually that there's some like things that will get there because Spider-Man's out and that kind of thing. And I'm assuming that might be the reason they didn't, which I guess they haven't done any of their shows as a full release the whole season. So I guess this is just pretty standard.
Sorry, my people are calling me and everything else during the podcast. Can you hear me?
We're wanted people. You know, everyone wants our attention, our talent. They want to give us money. It's just a problem. Like, I just have people walking up to me saying, here's money. You know, it's just...
Yeah, I'm getting tired of it, honestly.
I know. It's annoying.
I'm getting tired of the want and the need from other people. And my pockets are too full, you know?
Yep.
No, I think you're right. I think it's something that, again, they're still trying to master. And one thing that is interesting before we kind of start breaking down the episodes is I saw this meme going around. I'm not sure we shared it within each other's group or not, but it was like there's always some big moment or big reveal in episode 4 of the shows or whatever, like the fourth or fifth episode. And that's specifically because they're basically using a movie format. And so it's like that, you know, that second act, third act reveal, however you break it down. And it's they're using that high and low point to kind of shoot us off into like, okay, we're fixing to go in the third act territory, that sort of thing. And it's grafted onto the skeleton of a TV show, which I think it's cool, but also it's problematic, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't quite work. It's like one of those, oh yeah, in theory that should work. But I think if you look at the best TV shows, they function as well on an episodic basis as they do as a part of a whole of the season. You know, you think about Breaking Bad, and every episode of Breaking Bad is a beginning, middle, and end on its own. But it's also a part of the larger story that's being told
right
within the season. And I think you're right. I think that a lot of these episodes, even beyond this, even, you know, going back to Loki and, you know, WandaVision and Falcon, I keep wanting to say Captain Falcon, which I think I'll start saying because I think I like, you know, Captain Falcon's the LG.
You're saying it anyway, so might as well.
Falcon punch! I feel like, you know, there's a lot of episodes that don't feel like they have good pacing, where it's just like, oh, that, you know, a good paced kind of three-act structure to give an episode of TV or a 45-minute version of that. And I agree. It feels like even, you know, in episode 3, we're getting to more of the meat of the conflict. In episode 4, it's the pause and sit with the characters before the kind of, you know, the finale of episode 4, which has some reveals, and then obviously catapulting us into, well, and even the end of episode 4, which is Kate and Clint split up, you know, break up effectively. That's like your classic, like, end of the second act, going into the third act, kind of, you hit a new low, right? And so, yeah, I completely agree. I'm hoping that, you know, these last two episodes, are formatted well. But, I mean, you know, this is, it's a thing where, like, these shows have been in production so long. It's not like Marvel could have taken feedback from WandaVision and Loki and had much time to implement it into these next shows, right? And I want to give them a little benefit of the doubt of like, well, are they learning? Are they getting better? Not, they haven't shown it yet. I'm hoping when we get into like the Loki season 2s, you know, the She-Hulks, the Moon Knights, the kind of the next phase of television, that maybe we'll start to see an improvement in terms of just, you know, their structure and how they're telling these stories.
I don't really think we might see a dramatic improvement for like She-Hulk or Oscar Isaac's Moon Knight. I do see it as a possibility for maybe Loki season two, because we have gotten to that first season. We have had people who worked on that show potentially going on forward to work on the next show. I could see that, and they've kind of had some time to reflect. I also suspect that show might not come out until 2023 at the earliest, which would,
assume at the end of 2022, if we're lucky, but I think you're most likely right. It's 2023, probably summer 2023.
I think the showrunner, then you're just like,
what's going to be happening in the Marvel universe since which I guess Loki kind of has this caveat because it exists outside of time. So we can pick right up with where Loki season one left Loki, like frame the next frame shot, whatever. And technically everything that has happened since then can still have happened and had whatever, you know what I mean? It doesn't make a difference to that.
Which is for sure.
Lucky for them, I guess. That's a nice.
Yeah, it little, is. It may be even partly intentional too. Mm-hmm, but let's kind of dive into these episodes. We don't have to go super deep, but enough to generate some of these things I want to talk to you about. One of them being the start of episode three is a big deal because during the show and also outside the show and in the real world, we had a lot of things happening at once. One, we had the introduction to Echo, which is a deaf character in the Marvel comics, which we know she's going to get her own spinoff Disney Plus TV show relatively soon.
I'm assuming that's coming. She's going to be a good guy at some point, or she kind of anti-hero.
I assume, and to kind of jump a little ahead, I assume maybe it wasn't Clint Barton who killed her in the Ronin outfit. Maybe it was, and I think it should be, but I don't know. Maybe it was someone else doubling as him, but it seems like he was going after the bad people. And to speak of the bad people, I'm pretty sure we had Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin make an appearance.
That was 100% his voice. I mean, like,
yeah,
it was like, and honestly, you know, I just finished Daredevil season three, like over the weekend.
Good ending.
I've been watching.
Good ending. Don't you dare shut your mouth.
No, it's not a good ending. That show is great. There's some really great narrative things. The dialogue is garbage. Listen, we could get into it and I will show you how bad some of that stuff is, and I know you'll
agree. I'll rewatch it. I need to rewatch it. I know you like it. It's been a few years. It's been a few years, to be fair.
So my point was, I'm saturated with Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin right now, like having before watched that episode and after I've been watching that season, which is all Kingpin, and it's him. And if it isn't, it's another Ralph Boner. Like, it's another, like, them baiting us into believing something,
right,
as in like an intentional like bait and switch, and it will make me upset. No, that's
well, they 100%. they keep saying uncle, and I'm pretty sure that it's the same situation in the comics even. That has ties to Kingpin. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And in the same comic, the Matt Fraction run we talked about, I'm pretty sure it's Kingpin there as well. And on top of that, we had literally Kevin Feige come out within days of the episode dropping saying, if Matt Murdock returns, Charlie Cox will be playing him.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's really been a thing, or at least a point of contention amongst fans for the shows, like Netflix shows, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Punisher, Daredevil, they reference the MCU. They reference the Battle of New York, all these other things. The movies have never referenced them. And of course, we've always been asking Kevin Feige, even the Russos, and they were doing Infinity War and Civil War and all these other movies, like, hey, when are the Netflix characters going to show up? And they're always kind of like, hey, never say never, but you know, they're always very vague and also very much like a, hey, we don't want to disappoint you, but it's kind of not going to happen. And it makes sense for not to happen, right? At least it makes sense. Because there were, you know, people wanting to do TV that wasn't Kevin Feige, and he only has, at the time, only had so much power. Now
and
he has
let me
all
tell
the power.
You, there are things you don't want to bring over. There are things like, and I we can get to it later, but like season three of Daredevil, I had a mountain of issues with. Vincent D'Onofrio and Matt Murdock were neither one of them. They're perfect.
Right.
They're perfect. I mean, like, sometimes they were given really bad material, but they were perfect as they were. And I think going back and watching this, what year did season three of Daredevil come out? It was a while now.
Probably 19, maybe 18. I think 19.
let's see. 2015. No, that's when it started. 2015 is when it started.
I say no fucking way.
Yeah. No way. 2018 was the final episode date. So the last last season was 2018.
Gotcha. Wow.
There's just things you don't want to bring over that those writers did. They were going for a very particular thing, especially with Daredevil and a lot of the religious stuff they were doing that I think you'll want to be selective with. And, but you're Marvel, you can do whatever you want. What you do is you pick the best pieces out of it. You know, you take the best pieces, which is Matt Murdock and Vincent D'Onofrio. They were perfect. And they, like, honestly, I really, really, really want to see Matt Murdock with dialogue written by MCU, not Netflix MCU. Because I think he will be even cooler than he was in the Netflix show.
Potentially, yeah. I mean, I will partly miss the gritty and dark aesthetic to it.
But we can get that.
Well, yeah, but one thing that Daredevil does well in the comics is he bounces between those two tones. Like, he's the man without fear, but he's almost like the Flash, in which he's always smiling. Like, he always has this smirk when he's in the middle of a fight. And, you know, I think they could totally bring that over, and I would love to see Daredevil and Spider-Man together, BT-dubs.
Yes.
Like, that would, that's,
yes.
Spider-Man actually goes with everybody. Like, he's always teaming up with everybody because he's Spider-Man. Yeah. But Daredevil and Spider-Man are like one of those special ones. It's like, that's like an iconic team up. And
yeah,
I want that so bad. And I think they all want it too. And what's even cooler is there's rumor that they might get like the yellow outfit, which I've never been like just the biggest fan of it. And I prefer the reds, but I would love it just for the sake of it being different in the beginning. And then I'd also like to see what Marvel does with it, like how they pull it off. Like, I'm just so curious by it all.
Yeah. Well, and now, like, I think somebody, maybe you mentioned that, like, now Matt Murdock seems to just be destined to be in She-Hulk.
It's a lawyer show.
And, like, and that's the other thing is, like, the law stuff in Daredevil is bad. It's not good. It's plot hole to shit. When they're trying to, like, do the law things to, like, get Kingpin back, like, when they're like, oh, we'll get this to testify, blah, 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 it doesn't work. What I want to see is Law and Order, but you have fucking She-Hulk and Matt Murdock taking down, like, a crime, like, literally give me, like, a procedural, but with Matt Murdock and She-Hulk, because that would be, I think that would just be crazy good. But, like, they're investigating, like, I don't know, Bullseye's murder, or like something, like some like character from the MCU that is like kind of more grotesque, or like more, you know, something like that, versus just like your typical, like, I don't know.
Well, I'll say this. Supervillain. I think you could get a cameo in season one. I think he'll be more than that. I think he'll definitely could be a player in season two. I think Bruce Banner is a huge get and Abomination for season one. And you'll really want to lean into that. Have you still not watched those teaser trailers yet?
For?
She-Hulk and Moon Knight?
No.
You need to watch them.
I just forgot to watch them, yeah.
They're kind of informative of like the tone and what's kind of going on.
Okay.
And I can see Daredevil potentially popping up. It's interesting for sure. But, I'm excited for the Daredevil front. I don't think we'll get him in Hawkeye. I think we'll just get a Vincent D'Onofrio shot at the very end of the season, probably, like officially saying, hey, he's back.
Yeah. I still think there's a chance we get just a cameo in Spider-Man, just a little one. I don't know.
It's possible. It's very possible. I do think it's weird, though, that if it was possible, that Kevin Feige would have said it the week before No Way Home comes out. To me, it almost takes the chance completely away.
Yeah, fair.
I don't think he would do that. I think it's like, we talked about this in private. I think he has like a calendar and he's like, okay, I can casually drop these things now if people ask me about them. Like, he don't ever put, he's like, okay, if they ask me, then I'll answer yes, finally. But it's so interesting. I wonder how he juggles it all, or what he just feels like, I'm going to drop today's news. I'm going to blow up the internet today for fun. You know, yeah, but
seriously.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the Hawkeye. I think it's a great introduction. Echo. I love the opening scene with Ronan and fighting the I think it's the tracksuit mafia in the beginnings. I couldn't know. Maybe they're not tracksuit mafia. Maybe they're somebody else. Are they tracksuit mafia? I can't remember.
I assumed they were.
Okay.
Maybe she's a part of that group.
Okay. Maybe it's her. What's it? Her brother or her cousin? I thought it was her dad. No. Who's the other guy? That's like There's like a guy that's like holding her back, kind of, you know?
I thought he was just like her lieutenant, kind of. Maybe. Like just second in command, yeah.
He got a
yeah.
character poster recently, so I just wondered who I couldn't remember who he was. But I love that. I love the action sequences with Clint. I mean, he has had some cool moments in the movies, but he hasn't had like a lot of them. And I felt like we got a lot of cool, iconic MCU moments with him in this episode, like back to back to back. Just the way he moved with the bow and arrow. Of course, mm-hmm. the bridge sequence. I mean, using PIM particles to do the opposite. Typically, it's associated with he's going to shoot Ant-Man on the tip of his bow. And this time, he's shooting PIM particles to make a giant arrow, which I think is ingenious. Like, that's such a cool idea, which I think Matt told me before this pod that that's actually from the comics, which I did not know about, which is a really cool thing. Great idea. When in doubt, just reference the material that you're trying to reference.
Seriously.
Yeah. That's the way to do it, right? And I like it all. I like the camaraderie. I like the trick arrows. I liked even Clint's, his banter with Kate Bishop. I liked how he used the effectiveness of him going deaf. All this stuff is great. And I just thought it was a fun episode. I was like, okay, this is like the episode that I wanted in episode one.
Yes.
But it kind of almost made me feel a little bit better about those others, because it kind of felt like retroactively, like, okay, maybe those things were kind of earned, like him not wanting to talk to Kate and that kind of relationship. And I won't say it made it like a 7 or an 8 out of 10, but I think it at least got some bonus points in terms of the build up a little bit, because it made me kind of care and kind of know what was going on a little bit more. And I even like the tracksuit mafia, like they're tied up on these like, old park, rides or whatever, and how dumb they are, but they're also like bro, it's pretty funny stuff.
It is funny. Yeah, I almost get some like the Chechens from Barry vibes. Oh, yeah. The like NoHo Hank, not like the main guy they have talking of the tracksuit mafia is like pales compared to NoHo Hank. NoHo Hank is like a god among funny people from other gangs, but it feels like they're just slightly in that vein. Yeah. Some of that just.
That's the crossover we need. NoHo Hank and the Tracksuit Mafia. That's.
I mean, now I'm thinking like he would be a great in the Marvel Universe. He would probably play like a good. I mean, honestly, he could be. I mean, Lex Luthor just feels like obvious because he's bald from that show. But like some sort of like, mastermind villain type character that's like.
I could even see him.
A goober.
Being a reluctant character to join Ant-Man's heist team. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like
something like that.
He would fit great.
Oh, man. Him and Paul Rudd playing off each other?
Exactly.
Good Lord.
Exactly.
Give it to me now.
That'd be fantastic. Yeah. No, I think, again, I really enjoyed the episode. I think where it ends up, right, they're inside Kate's home. Am I correct? Or is that the end of episode 2?
That's end of episode 3.
Okay, so they end up at Kate's home, and they're ambushed by Kate's stepdad and mom.
Duquesne.
Yes.
Is that how you spell
it? I don't know. And that's kind of where things end, right? And it's one thing I do like about the show is I like how there's no gaps in times. It goes straight from this cliffhanger to right into the next moment of the show. Like, it feels like, again, if you watch these shows back to back to back to back, it's like one continuous story, and it doesn't feel like, we have any gaps in time or that kind of stuff. Now, this episode's a little different, episode 4. Is there anything real quick about 3 you want to touch upon that you really liked that we didn't really talk about? Or
no, I think we hit it.
Cool. Episode 4 is definitely the cooldown episode, right? We did the big battle. I do think it's kind of weird that we're going to have a moment of reprieve just because the momentum was built up. And also, I always kind of find it weird in movies, when the character's like, okay, we're going to go hide out and talk about stuff before the big thing, just because a lot of times it don't work. The only times it kind of works is like, example, in Captain America, the Winter Soldier, they had the big, fights or whatever. And now it's like, okay, we gotta get a plan together, and we're going to go get my suit. Hey, you got to take care of him. He's your best friend. They have a conversation on the bridge, but it's no more than a couple of minutes. It's not 15-20 minutes. And to me, I think you lose a little bit of momentum when you do that stuff. That being said, them doing the tree together was pretty
Christmas
sweet
montage stuff.
Christmas montage. it was fun watching them train. I do think it's kind of lame that she learns the coin trick within like 20 seconds. But you know, it's a TV show. It's a movie. You know, I guess I gotta suspend something. I like all that stuff. I do think the mom obviously is the bad guy. I thought this a couple episodes ago, but now based on the conversation, it sounds like she is the main head honcho here. There's just too much telegraphing for that, and also they kind of keep setting up that Kate, of course, thinks it's the stepdad that she doesn't truly like because it's the stepdad. It can't be the person she loves. And we also get some great stuff that looks like Clint's wife could be a secret agent also from S.H.I.E.L.D. Because there's some hints there that you didn't catch that. So it hints like to me that, hey, why is she always cool with Clint doing his stuff? And like she's always very fine with it. And it seems like the watch that he's going after to get was actually her watch. And she was like a spy.
What? That looked like a male. That looked like a men's watch. For one, like a straight up men's Rolex. I think Catherine and I even said this. It just sounds like they just talk about everything together. Sounds like she's the one person in the world he shares everything with from all his missions and everything. So I just read it as she was in the know, not as, and whose watch is that? Because it's definitely like a men's Rolex. I mean, I thought it was Tony's at first, but that
maybe.
I mean, doesn't he have a watch?
In the comics, Hawkeye's wife is Mockingbird, and who's also like a superhero, or she was like an agent of some sort in the comics. I just suspect it's going to kind of give her some more agency in terms of, hey, she's not just a mom hanging out with the kids. She's also been the thing. I think they could, even if they did season two, which I'm not sure they would, I could definitely see, even if Clint dies this season, I could see like her taking Kate under her wing kind of thing, or something to that effect. I think also, you know, she's been in like a couple movies now, I guess three movies total, and every time she's just the person on the phone. Like, you wonder, you know,
besides Ultron, but yeah,
I mean, all she was there was a that's what I'm saying. She was just a person,
yeah,
I know, but she the same role, she's just there to say, hey, thanks for doing what you're doing, you can stay here, and you know, whatever. She don't have any type of anything other than being, you know, just there, other than being stakes for Clint, right? Or a ticking clock for Clint. And I think, and I think that she's a great actress, you know, in her own right. And I think that they might want to utilize her in the future. And I could see it being like a small twist. He's like, hey, that's my wife's watch, you know, and like it'll reveal her identity or something. I don't know. Maybe.
But isn't that watch? That watch was what was. It was picked up from the Avengers compound, like after Endgame, like in the destruction of Endgame. So it was the Ronin suit, right? Like, I think that's what they said.
That was what it said, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just.
I mean, it could. I mean, you're right. It could.
I'm trying to think. What other have there been watches that have any significance in it? Like, I feel like didn't Tony have a watch that like helped him turn into Iron, like an Iron Man watch at one point? Maybe.
No, no, he had the wrist. The they're actually stress bands. In the real world,
that's right. That's right.
They scan them in Avengers 1. That's how he gets the Mark 7.
That's right.
Mark 8.
That's right.
I think it's Mark 7. But yeah, so maybe it's not. It's just I remember there's a lot of talk on the internet about it, and it could be interesting.
I want to say, I mean, you mentioned it. I at first I didn't know, but I don't feel like Clint's dying in this. That does not seem like the tone. Like, it would be a shock. And I think maybe they can do it right, and it's, like, a good shock. Like, but, I mean, them playing up about him getting home for Christmas, you know what I mean? Like, that seems to be, like, we're going to get some sort of last minute he somehow get like, you know, thing.
I think you're right. And also, he's getting a new suit. So, I think because the new suit implies that he will continue on. And it's also... I mean, I am glad that it feels like, okay, they serve some purpose. I'm still not, I don't feel good about the purpose, but the LARPers are going to make the suit for him. I'm like, how would you have, like, that's what the thing in the episode. In the episode, she's like, hey, could you do us a favor and make a suit? And they're like, oh, we got this. I missed
that line. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was like, it seems like their whole point now was to make a suit for him. And because one of them has a connection to the police force, which, you know, she goes, gets the bag or whatever.
The Kevlar. She got the Kevlar to make it.
Yeah. Or whatever. So that's kind of a bummer to me, just because like all the other Avengers have all these suits, and like you assume, and hey, Tony Stark was making them, but you know, it's Hawkeye. Like if he wanted to, Happy would let him do the helicarrier like Spider-Man did and be like, let's make me a new Hawkeye suit. You know what I'm saying? Like there's 1,000 people who can make him a suit and would do it for free and happily do it, and not LARPers, which I guess is part of the charm, is like he doesn't want a new suit, you know, and these people would do it because Kate is also quirky and it's her idea. I don't know. It just kind of rubs me the wrong way a little bit. But how do you feel about the end here? The end here is kind of big. We knew it was coming for about, I don't know, 9 months now because of the end of Black Widow, the after credit sequence. And it seems like Yelena's back, and played by Florence Pugh, and a great little moment. I like the idea that she like tells Kate, like, don't fuck with me, without saying a word. She just shakes her head, like, don't try for it. And Kate just stops. I think it's going to be like, either by the end of next episode or the final episode, they'll be in a fight, and there'll be some type of dialogue that obviously makes Yelena go good instantly. But
she's only there because she was told Clint killed Natasha. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. So that's an easy, like, no, I didn't. Maybe she'll have to prove it or something. I don't know. But
it's also weird that, like, why would she think Clint killed? I mean, like, if she's following the Avengers at all, she knows that Clint and Black Widow are part of the Avengers. She even says to Black Widow in the Black Widow movie, like, you're an Avenger now. You're on magazines and stuff. So she has to know how close Clint and her are. Or at least you think they would. I think, I don't know. It's interesting.
It wasn't the best. Like, it wasn't. Even just the fight was just kind of this very plain rooftop fight.
It was okay.
On this like small building that just felt a little bit anticlimactic, or just a little bit under what we expect from like Marvel level of like grandeur. She takes it off. They have that moment where they stare at each other. She runs away, and then Clint's like, you know, that's a Black Widow assassin or whatever, right? Because we knew it was coming, and because the character is just kind of like what feels like the generic Natasha replacement character, kind of the new Black Widow, it was just fine to me. I mean, we'll see what they do with it. I mean, it seems like we could have like a Clint, Echo, and Yelena. Does she have a code? Does she have like a superhero name? Yelena?
Not that I know.
Black
Widow 2.
Granddaddy Spider. Okay.
Black Widow Part 2 is her name.
Yeah. Black
Widow Chapter 2 is her name.
Spider. Black Brown Spider. Black Brown Spider, that's it.
Recluse Spider.
That's right. Black Recluse Spider. I think we solved it. So,
I like Granddaddy Long Legs, though. I like that one.
And I guess the other thing is, like, we don't yet have like a central villain. Like all of the people they've been fighting so far feel like, other than like the just generic tracksuit thugs, feel like misunderstood, or you know what I mean? Like Echo feels like she's got more to her. Yelena. And like, I mean, like you said, I think you're right. Like the mom is probably
100%.
But it also just feels a little strange to be going into like the last two episodes and not really know who the big bad is in a way that like, I mean, I guess that's going to be a big reveal. And then like, they all team up to fight the big bad, but if it's just the mom, surely she has no, like, you know, not too much to bring to a fist fight. I'm a little curious on how that's all going to shake out, I guess.
One thing Marvel has, you know, last 3-4 years, they've really tried to make all their, you can really tell, I feel like, make their bad guys, either there be a twist or there be, you know, something, you know, more sympathetic. Like they've tried to be different in the first 10 or the first 5 years of Marvel than the last 5 years. There's a big difference. And I feel like sometimes, you know what, Marvel, it's okay just to give us a little bit of the same, like go out of the gate, let us know who the bad guy is, and then build up the character relationships, and then we take them that bad guy. You know, like you don't have to always try to subvert expectations. And I think sometimes it bites them in the butt. And I think like Eternals, for example, is a good example.
I agree.
Black Widow, like there's also that one too.
Oh, man. That was horrible.
You know, I think Shang-Chi was like the best, one of the better ones, because, but even then, a problem with it, like, okay, he's not actually the bad guy. This giant demon dragon's the bad guy at the end. You know what I mean? Like, it's, but I like that relationship with the dad, but it's still not like, you can still see them trying to like be different or change it up a little, you know, in the
right. Yes. And I think to their credit, that is a valid need. I think we can't, we can't work with just like the abominations and, you know, the I want my bird, you know, like these guys that are just kind of
one. I think it's okay to do it every now and then for certain stories. For the Hawkeye story, I think it should have been done. 100%. Like, I mean,
yeah, I don't know yet. I can't say until sure. We finish, I think.
I don't know either, but I suspect like Die Hard is great because Alan Rickman shows up in the first 5 minutes and you fall in love with Alan Rickman's bad guy. Like, that would have been great for Hawkeye. This guy who comes in, he's a great bad guy. And the whole time you're just waiting for his ass to get kicked by Clint and Kate. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's times for it. And I think this is a whimsical Christmas movie, you're supposed to be. I think this would be the time to do that. And I think we have so much of a spread in the MCU that it's okay to do that every now and then, you know?
Totally.
Like even WandaVision, who's the bad guy? Loki, who's the bad guy? Falcon is like, it's much better, but you can tell they're trying to play really gray in that show.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Carter, the power broker. Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, to your point, I think Eternals would have even done the best with this because they were having to do so much legwork with all the good guys. Like, make the bad guy more simple and make that interpersonal relationships, you know, the meat or just more of a conflict. But yeah, no, I do agree. I think it feels a little convoluted going into these last two episodes. Like, part of me is like, could we see Kingpin? Like, surely he doesn't show up in a significant way.
You know,
it seems... like, that would be a lot to keep under wraps, like, in production and all that kind of stuff.
I think it's possible. I mean, they said that, I guess one of the showrunners or writers, they've said, like, episode 5 is, like, got a big thing in it. So I'm like, you don't say that, you know, in the middle of the show. I mean, maybe you do.
Well, going back to WandaVision, there was a lot of things said during the middle of that show that fucked this expectation.
Yes and no.
To be fair, it was the actors mostly saying that.
It was, you know, Paul Bettany saying, I got to work with somebody I've always wanted to work with, himself. But
is hilarious, but like in the interview, like, but Paul, but let's have a little more awareness of what that does.
But that's the thing. That was earlier this year. We have almost a year now from WandaVision. Surely they had these talks with the surely they had these talks with the showrunner saying, look, don't pump it up unless it's pumped up. Yeah. And things slip out, of course. I just feel like now I'm like almost kind of like I don't know what it could be that I'm like, you know, would blow my socks off, but I feel like it won't. I don't know why. I just feel like it's not going to be. It almost be like I don't know. We're like, okay, cool. That was cool. It'd be like Yelena in this last episode. I'm like, okay, cool. Like you finally showed up.
I mean, you know, my hope is that it's like much bigger because they didn't say that about episode 4 that has Yelena's reveal.
Right.
Which obviously Black Widow the movie foreshadows Yelena's reveal, so that wasn't really a secret.
What if John Walker shows up to fight with Yelena as part of the Thunderbolts?
I mean, that would be interesting, but not cool. I mean, I want new, I guess. To me, I mean, I'm spoiled, I guess.
I agree.
Let's expand the universe, not dip back in yet. Like, that will be great at some point, but like, not yet.
Yeah. Okay. Well, last thing I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure I know the answer, but what's the things that this show needs to do for you to be like, okay, it justifies its existence amongst WandaVision, Loki, all these other shows that are coming out?
Yeah, I think to me, obviously, it just needs to stand on its own as a good story. So they just need to have a good finale. I think if this show ends up being something that starts on kind of a rocky first couple steps, has a solid middle, but then just doesn't deliver at the end, I'm not gonna feel great about it. You know, just as its own. And I think too, I'm still hopeful, speculative about how this will work out in terms of, like, you know, Spider-Man comes out in 2 days. And so the final episode of the show happens after Spider-Man. And what kind of, like, I just think, you know, it's just so satisfying to see, like, the universe feel persistent and to feel real. And so, like, when you get those crossovers, it just makes it feel more like our world, right? Like, there's that, oh, yeah, of course, they're both in the same city. Big shit's going down. It would make sense that they, like, cross paths. Or even just, like, oh, look over there at the fucking Statue of Liberty, wherever this shit's happening. Like, there's three Spider-Men over there. That's strange. Let's keep going. You know what I mean? Like,
that won't happen, but go on. Yeah.
No, right.
Sorry.
Like, yeah,
sorry,
what if Daniel. It's fucking, like, what if tomorrow's, like, a Tobey Maguire cameo? That would be just like cha-ching, drawing the gram.
I'd have to change my pants is what would happen.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Several times, so. Probably. But yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing is it delivers on its own story in a satisfying way. I want the crossover. I want the, you know, the Kingpins and the Matt Murdocks, but like, just give us a satisfying arc to Hawkeye's story and give us, a reason to want to see Kate Bishop again.
Yeah, I mean, I would love a... I'm okay with this... I'm sorry, I prefer a show that starts off weaker and ends much stronger than the opposite, right? And if sure, this show, yeah. Like, if it reverts back to, like, the first episodes, then I'm going to be disappointed. Typically, Marvel, so far, in the finales, they've landed their finales in the TV show, WandaVision, Falcon. Like, I like Falcon's ending, Loki's mm-hmm. ending. I mean, mm-hmm. all those kind of things. I mean, we've had decent finales for everything. So I think we'll be at least entertained quite a bit in these last episodes, which is all I can ask for. And I think it'll be good. Now, one downside for me is that I'll be on a cruise after a couple of days. So I'll have to be, like, you know, almost a week behind the watching the last episode.
You're going to have to stay off the internet.
I won't have internet.
I mean, you can watch it on your... you can probably, like, rent it for, like, a day or something. It's probably, like, $2,000 per megabyte or something. But
oh.
You know, I bet they have, like, internet plans you can rent or something.
There probably is. If there is, I will be watching it that night in the hotel. Or in the cruise room, I guess, boat room.
You mean the closet that everyone sleeps in on cruises? I couldn't do it, man. I'm sorry.
Whatever,
I couldn't do it.
Whatever it is.
Blow my head off.
I don't know what...
Too close.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I don't know yet. But I'm pretty excited for it. I think we're on we're better than when we started. I will say this real quick. We are a couple of days, or really literally 48 hours from watching Spider-Man No Way Home in theaters. As of the time of this recording, it has with 75 reviews. I know it don't matter, but it's kind of cool. 75 reviews. It's got a 97% Rotten Tomatoes. Spider-Man No Way Home. It seems like from all the things
IGN
I've read,
gave it an 8.
It did, which is good.
Lower. They gave Far From Home an 8.8. And I'm sorry, there's no way this movie is worse than that one. To be honest, like a worse Spider-Man.
Sure. But IGN is also trash when it comes to reviews. They're trash. So
very consistent, yeah.
Yeah, very consistent because they have multiple different reviewers and they just it's trash. But to me, I'm like, okay, 97%. It seems like from the consensus I see almost everybody, it says they deliver on the hype.
Yeah.
Which makes me feel good about the last 30 minutes of that movie.
I mean, that means that they're in there. Like, right, like no one would be saying that if we didn't, you know, get everything we
thought. Right. Yeah, I mean, we know they're in there. I mean, there's part of me that enjoys not fully knowing. Like, I don't have, like, actual concrete proof of, like, the frame of the movie. Like, I don't have that in front of me. I've got leaks. I've got other things like that. But I don't have the movie itself in front of me with them in it. So there's that, like, fun factor of that. But
yeah,
it feels good. It feels like they might deliver here at the end of the year with a big movie.
Can't wait. Cannot wait.
Yeah. Well, Daniel, I'm real quick, some housekeeping. I think our next two episodes, or one episode, will be Avengers Infinity War Breakdown as we lead into episode 100 of Podcast 2-for-1. There will be a small gap here, potentially, between our next couple episodes as Spider-Man No Way Home drops. Again, like I said a minute ago, I'll be on the cruise. So I'm really watching. Then I'm getting on a plane the next day and flying out. And during that time, we'll have Book of Boba Fett dropping. We'll have No Way Home dropped. We'll have Matrix Awakening or Matrix The Witcher. We'll have Matrix Resurrections dropping.
Yeah.
And we have The King's Man dropping. We have a lot happening in the next 2-3 weeks. So when we come back for the new year, we will have a lot to talk about. And I'm pretty excited about it. So where can our listeners write into us?
Listeners, you can write into us at bit.ly/241mail. There, you can let us know what we got wrong, what we got right, and anything in between. I don't know what's between wrong and right, but let us know. bit.ly/241mail.
And we've also been playing Halo Infinite. I've played over 200, probably 250 matches in multiplayer. I've already basically almost 100% of the campaign. Collectibles and everything, and I have a lot of thoughts on that as well, and I would love to hear your perspective about it. For someone who didn't play 4 and 5, I would love to know what you think about it all. How far do you think you are in the campaign? Like, are you midpoint?
I'd say about I've cleared kind of like the first I would say probably 4 or 5 hours in. So I've cleared like that whole kind of first area you get put on, like all the different little FOBs and squads and target of interest, what a person of interest targets, whatever they're called. And yeah, man, it's fun. I was playing a heroic for a while and it was tough. It was hard. It was really, really hard. Like, I could do it, but it took like more slow methodical play than it took like just jumping in there and being a badass. And like, that's what I want to feel like when I play Master Chief. I want to feel like I'm just like Ramboing it a bit. And so I dropped it down to normal and I'm having more fun. I'm still getting my ass beat a couple, like if I'm not careful, it'll punish you. And like
it is wild.
It's tough, like, but it's fun. I'm really, really, really the grapple hook is amazing. The sense of exploration. I like to explore in games. I like games where you can just find random shit and like, you know, where developers like hide stuff in the places that you want to explore. You know, they just kind of give that satisfaction, and I'm getting some of that, so I'm really enjoying it.
I think it's a great appetizer for what could come in the future for sure. I played normal difficulty, knowing that the other ones were way kind of harder this go around, and me and Matt both felt like fuck, like some of these guys are whipping our ass sometimes. There's so many enemies sometimes on screen and in and around you, and the snipers will just are fucking killer, man. Like the jackals get you this time so many times.
That and the invisible sword guy, especially the ones when you fight like there's that one, you know, target that's like an invisible sword guy, and they have like health bars. Yeah. And so it's like, shit. But then I found out like you can like, if you hit them, if you hit one of those like blue energy boxes when they're near it, it'll shock them and take away their shield completely. And you can hit them in like a couple hits and they're dead. And like, so like there's just little things about the game that like, it just feels like the systems and the physics engines are all working together in fun ways. It really feels like there's like 10 different ways to handle any encounter, and all of them could work.
So. Yeah, I think you're saying a Halo review. We'll do that later. But I think the game, it does suffer from not having co-op day one, because the game was built 100% for co-op, 100% for co-op, and it was, you know, it was still fun. I had a great time with it, but I did miss that, and it sucks that it's such a long time away to get that. Because now I'm like, well, do I really want to play the campaign again with co-op? Like, I already know the story. I know. Sure. I've gotten everything already.
I would do it to like try to beat it on a higher difficulty level, I think.
Yeah.
It does seem like, again, it'd just be fun to fuck around with your friend. Like, you know, it's just the game where you're just like, there's just like, let's just go do this. We don't try that. Try to kill this entire base with mongooses and just running people over or something. Like, you know, just
sure.
It feels like one of those games that would just be a blast just to fuck around with a friend on the campaign. I agree.
I agree too. Alrighty. Well, again, if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button, the notification bell. That way, you have to on all future episodes of the podcast. Super One, we're on Google Podcasts, we're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere in between. We're on all of them. And of course, if you need more Super One, go to 241studios.com. And of course, I can't say it enough. I've said it like 5,000 times now. YouTube.com/241studios. The best place to consume the content. Subscribe, like, and leave a comment below if you can't hit up our Bitly. The Bitly, you'll probably get read on the show. Comment section, we'll comment privately off the air. But indeed, I would love some feedback on Hawkeye, what you thought about it. You know, by the time we come back again, Spider-Man No Way Home will be out. We can talk about all that. That's going to be a long-ass podcast, I think, Spider-Man. So it needs to be for all the fucking hype.
It's going to be. It needs to be its own podcast, and then have other podcasts talk about other stuff. Because I feel like we're going to talk. I'm hoping we'll be able to talk about Spider-Man for like an hour and a half, easy. There's so much to talk about. Not because we're forced, but you know what I mean. Like it's just.
Yeah.
Like it's one of those in-game like episodes or whatever. Like when we're just talking about it for hours and hours and hours.
I agree, and I'm really excited for our Bruce conversation tomorrow night, which will release pretty soon for Infinity War. To celebrate our 2-year anniversary of podcast 2 for 1. All right, 2 years, Daniel. We've been in it for 2 years, over 2 years, actually.
That's awesome.
Anyway, my name is Diamond Thompson.
I'm Daniel Wingfield.
And we have spoken.